Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services, Inc. 2017 First Quarter Results Conference Call. I'll now turn the meeting over to Mr. Daniel Halyk, President and Chief Executive Officer of Total Energy Services, Inc. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Total Energy Services Conference Call. Present with me this morning is Yulia Gorbach, Total's VP Finance and CFO. We will review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 months ended March 31st, 2017, provide an outlook for our business, and then open up the phone lines for any questions. Yulia, please proceed.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected drilling activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statement due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's business and the oil and gas service industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under the heading Risk Factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed Annual Information Form and other documents filed with Canadian Provincial Securities Authorities that are available to the public at www.cira.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the news release issued yesterday. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. Total financial results for the 3 months ended March 31, 2017, reflecting improving North American industry activity levels from the historic lows experienced during the prior year. Despite high activity, operating margins remained under pressure, particularly within contract drilling services and rental and transportation services segments, where spot market pricing continued to suffer from competitive market conditions. Also negatively impacting the company's results for the first quarter of 2017 was approximately $1.3 million of non-recurring expenses, of which $1.1 million relate to the company's offer to acquire all of the common shares of Savannah Energy Services Corporation. Total first quarter financial results do not include any contribution from Savannah. Consolidated revenues for the first quarter of 2017 were $84.4 million, a 69% increase from the first quarter of 2016. Compression and process services contributed 71% of 2017 first quarter revenues, rentals and transportation services 21%, and contract drilling services 8%, as compared to relative contributions of 72%, 22%, and 6% in the first quarter of 2016. Revenue per spot to release operating day in our contract drilling segment during the first quarter was 77% lower as compared to the first quarter of 2016. Lower spot market pricing was the primary reason for this decrease, as the company had no drilling rigs under term fixed price contracts. This segment's EBITDA increased 69% to $1.4 million, or 20% of revenue for the first quarter of 2017, compared to $0.8 million, or 25% of revenue for the Q1 2016. Contract drilling services segment realized an operating loss of $0.7 million for the 3 months ended March 31, 2017, as compared to operating income of $0.3 million for the prior year comparable period. Lower operating margins due to price competition was the primary driver for this operating loss. In addition, effective July 1, 2016, the CDS segment changed its depreciation estimate, which resulted in a $0.5 million incremental increase to the depreciation expense in the first quarter of 2017 as compared to the same period in 2016. The revenue reported from rentals and transportation segment increased by 58% to $17.6 million for the first quarter of 2017 as compared to $11.1 million for the same period in 2016. The revenue increase was due primarily to increased equipment utilization. First quarter rental equipment utilization increased to 22% in 2017 as compared to 15% in 2016. Divisional revenue per utilized piece of rental equipment for the first quarter of 2017 increased 7% as compared to the same period in 2016. The increase in revenue per utilized piece was due to a modest increase in pricing and changes in the mix of equipment utilized during the quarter. Segment EBITDA for the first quarter of 2017 increased 192% to $4.2 million, or 24% of revenue, compared to $1.4 million, or 13% of revenue in 2016. The rentals and transportation services segment realized an operating loss of $0.1 million for the 3 months ended March 31, 2017, as compared to an operating loss of $2.7 million for the comparable period in 2016. This segment has relatively high fixed cost structure and consequently has significant leverage to high activity levels. First quarter within our compression and process services segment increased 69% in the first quarter of 2017 compared to the same period in 2016. This increase was due primarily to the high activity levels, particularly within certain international markets, including Australia. This segment exited first quarter of 2017 with a $75.2 million backlog of fabrication sales orders, as compared to $49.4 million at March 31, 2016, and $65.5 million at December 31, 2016. As of March 31, 2017, the total horsepower of compressors on rent was approximately 16,500, as compared to approximately 11,200 as of March 31, 2016, and 12,600 at December 31, 2016. Segment EBITDA increased 49% to $4.9 million during the first quarter of 2017, compared to $3.3 million in 2016 comparable period. Consolidated gross margin for the first quarter of 2017 was 19% of revenue, compared to 21% for the comparable period in 2016. The lower gross margin realized in the first quarter of 2017 compared to the same period in 2016 is due primarily to competitive market conditions not permitting the company to increase pricing to the extent necessary to offset higher cost of services, particularly in CDS and CPS segments, where the realized gross margin for the first quarter of 2017 decreased compared to the same period in 2016. Consolidated cash flow before changing the non-cash working capital items was $7.8 million for the first quarter of 2017 as compared to $5 million in 2016. Cash flow in the first quarter of 2017 was positively impacted by the realization of smaller net loss as compared to the first quarter of 2016. Consolidated EBITDA for the first quarter of 2017 was $7.9 million, an 85% increase from the comparable period in 2016. Adding back non-recurring costs, consolidated first quarter EBITDA was $9.1 million, a 112% increase from 2016. High activity levels and a significant increase in EBITDA margins within RTS segment contributed to this increase. Consolidated net loss for the 3 months ended March 31, 2017, decreased to $0.9 million as compared to net loss of $2.1 million in the 2016 comparable period. Negatively impacting company's result for the first quarter of 2017 was approximately $1.3 million of non-recurring expenses, including $1.1 million related to company's offer to purchase all of the common shares of Savannah Energy Services Corporation, including Excluding these non-recurring expenses, Total Energy would have returned to profitability for the first time since the third quarter of 2015. Total Energy's financial condition remains very strong, with $77.2 million of positive working capital and no net debt at March 31st, 2017. Shareholders' equity increased by $101.8 million during the first quarter due to the issuance of common shares by the company in connection with the acquisition of Savannah shares that was partially offset by realization of a net loss and continued payment of dividend. As of March 31st, 2017, Total Energy's bank debt consisted of $46.4 million mortgage loan, which was secured by approximately 60% of company's real estate holdings, and $12.1 million outstanding on company's $65 million operating facility. During the first quarter of 2017, the company drew on its operating credit facility for the first time since 2011 to fund the acquisition of Savannah shares. Total bank covenants consist of debt-to-equity ratio of not greater than 2.5 to 1 and a current ratio of at least 1.3 to 1. At March 31st, 2017, total debt-to-equity ratio was 0.13 to 1 and its current ratio was 2.65 to 1.
Thank you, Yulia. The first quarter of 2017 was certainly an eventful quarter for our company. Operationally, North American oil and natural gas drilling and completion activity continued to recover from the historic lows experienced during 2016. Despite such increased activity, operating margins remained under pressure as competitive market conditions impaired our ability to fully offset rising costs. While pricing has begun a modest recovery, sustained higher activity levels will be required to support meaningful price recovery. Despite these challenges, our continued focus on operational discipline would have returned total to profitability if we excluded $1.1 million of non-recurring costs incurred during the first quarter in respect of our bid for Savannah. I am pleased with the effort in all of our business segments, and Total is well positioned to benefit should industry conditions continue to improve. A few years ago, Total Energy made the strategic determination to geographically diversify its revenue base outside of Canada. Our organic efforts, combined with the acquisition of Savannah, have resulted in significant progress being made in that regard. For example, subsequent to March 31st, our CPS segment received several significant orders, including a $35 million international gas compression order, the largest single order in our corporate history. Together with other international and domestic orders received since March 31st, this segment has seen a substantial increase to its fabrication sales backlog over the past few weeks, and quote activity remains very strong. This bodes well for our previously announced expansion into the Northeast United States, where the establishment of our gas compression fabrication facility in Weirton, West Virginia, is on time and on budget, with production still on track to commence during the second quarter. On March 24, 2017, Total Energy was successful in acquiring a majority ownership position in Savannah, and over the course of April, we increased our ownership position to approximately 86%. We are currently finalizing the details of the combination transaction and expect to complete the acquisition of 100% of Savannah by the end of June. Integration efforts between Savannah and Total have commenced, although we respect the fact that Savannah still has minority shareholders. Preliminary due diligence and excellent cooperation between the employees of both companies very much supports our prior estimate of at least $10 million of annual cost synergies being achievable over a reasonable period of time. Total is currently in the process of securing a revolving bank credit facility to replace the existing credit facilities of Total Energy and Savannah, and we expect such facility will be sufficient to repay all debt currently due and payable by Savannah, as well as to fully fund the operations and current capital expenditure plans of the combined entity going forward. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the shareholders of Savannah for placing their trust and confidence in our board and senior management team to take stewardship of their investment going forward. We will work hard to reward your trust. I would also like to welcome all Savannah employees to the Total Energy family. Those employees that I've had the opportunity to personally meet so far have been very welcoming and helpful, and I look forward to meeting all of our employees as I visit our operations throughout Canada, the United States, and Australia in the coming months. I'm encouraged by the positive attitude and cooperative nature demonstrated by employees of both Total and Savannah as we look to bring our companies together, and this constructive attitude reinforces my confidence that we will emerge a stronger, more prosperous company going forward. Finally, I would welcome all shareholders and other interested persons to attend Total Energy's annual and special meeting of shareholders, which will commence at 10 a.m. Calgary time on Tuesday, June 27th at the Edmund Taylor Conference Room on the second floor of the Stock Exchange Tower at 305th Avenue Southwest in Calgary. I would now like to open up the phone lines for any questions.
Thank you. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing star 1, and you may cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. So please press star 1 if you have a question. There'll be a brief pause allowing you to register. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. We have a question from John Morrison of CIBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Morning, all.
Morning, John.
Dan, can you give any more color on the $35 million compression award that was made subsequent to quarter end? And I guess I'm wondering how we should be thinking about it being converted into revenue, given that it is a large international award. Should it be at a faster or slower timeline than would be typical for any award that you put through Bidel?
What I would say is the, first of all, the orders that we've received post March 31, I would say Weirton, West Virginia will be gravy above and beyond that.
Okay.
Number two, there's no specific magic in one $35 million order versus, say, three $10 million orders. What this does demonstrate, I believe, is that we're now playing at a very high level globally and are able to compete on pretty much any international compression order that's on the table. And so the timing of this, you know, every project's different. In large part, timing's dictated by when the customer needs the product. So I would suggest there's nothing extraordinary about execution on this. You know, I would, we had a large order out of Australia. We announced, I believe it was in Q3 last year. At that point, that was our largest single order. I believe it was $21 million. That's been executed on and delivered.
Okay. So it's not under an expedited timeline or anything like that. That's not the right way to think about it.
Kind of the ordinary course. Yeah. It's just, it's a large single order, but there's no magic behind timing or, you know, any reason to.
Based on the comments you made earlier, then, it's fair to assume that the order will be satisfied through your Canadian operations and not the expansion in the U.S.
That's generally correct, although as we look to ramp up our U.S. operation, we may move stuff there depending on what makes sense in terms of logistics and delivery. But, yeah, I think it's fair to say that it would be produced in Canada unless for some reason we decide not to.
Is your expectation that some of these larger awards that you're starting to win is supported with product support along the road in a few years, or are you largely looking at this as more one-time equipment sales in nature?
You know, as we build up our horsepower in a certain region, typically what we've done historically is increased our ability to provide ongoing customer field support. So that tends to be a logical extension as we build a presence in a marketplace. You know, that said, there's certain international markets that are remote or perhaps politically unstable that you tend not to establish permanent or quasi-permanent field operations in. So it really depends on the environment and the geographic area you're going into. But I think it's fair to assume that if it's a stable political environment with a growing base of horsepower that we're putting into the area that, you know, ultimately we're open to establishing field support on a permanent basis.
Can you talk about how you're approaching market share in the rentals platform at this stage as activity levels start to ramp in Canada? And was what appears to be some market share slippage quarter over quarter purposeful as you start to prioritize economic returns over all else in that business?
Yeah, I think, John, our approach to running our business hasn't changed. And pricing remains extremely competitive, and we've always been prepared to give up work that's not, I guess, that I would say is completely unreasonable. It's not like we're holding out for, you know, spectacular pricing, but we've drawn a line and we'll generally not cross that. So I think very consistent approach, but ultimately, things were busier in Q1 and that benefited us.
On the Savannah acquisition, what would push out the expected closing date beyond that June 30th date that you referenced in the release?
It's pretty much within our control. Now, you know, Savannah, our expectation at this point, there will be one meeting required. That will be a meeting of shareholders to Savannah, and that meeting will be called very shortly, and the outcome of that meeting is known with 100% certainty.
Okay.
So unless Total changed its mind on how it's going to vote, I don't see any reasonably foreseeable circumstances that would prevent this from being completed by the end of June.
Okay. And it's fair to assume that all remaining costs associated with Savannah will likely be captured in Q2 as well, given that guidance.
Yeah, certainly any transaction costs will do. And Savannah has been sued by Western Energy Services for a break fee. Our view is there's absolutely no merit to that, but that'll be ongoing litigation. Whether it's significant enough to carve out non-recurring costs remains to be seen. I wouldn't expect that's not our nature to do that, but I would hope the bulk of expenses relating to this affair will be wrapped up in Q2.
Okay. Last one just for me. Is your expectation that pricing within Chinook is likely going to be higher in the back half of the year compared to what you realize in Q1 based on all your customer conversations right now?
I certainly hope so.
Do you believe that labor inflation or other input cost inflation mitigates some of that, and it is definitely a real concern for you at this stage in the coming quarters?
Well, what I would say generally is I think the industry realized, you know, first of all, the industry has to be healthy for all participants, our customers and us and our suppliers. Ultimately, if our customers are not making money, that's a problem. And so I think the way I look at things is definitely we've seen an improvement in our customers' ability to generate cash and a profit as they've seen higher commodity prices and frankly, have achieved efficiencies. The reality is the current environment for energy services companies is not sustainable. I think you're going to continue to see business failures and further consolidation. And so my sense is most reasonable industry participants recognize this, and I think there's a sense that we have to work together to manage costs but also to allow every segment of the industry to be healthy. And so, you know, in that spirit and in a recovering commodity price environment, I think there's room for pricing to move. Now, you know, if oil goes back below $40 or whatever, all bets are off. I do know total experienced no labor issues in Q1 other than kind of normal day-to-day, but we none of our equipment could not go to work because of labor. That is not the case in our industry. And, you know, we're going to, as an industry, have to figure out how to bring people back if activities levels continue to improve. And frankly, a lot of experienced people in this industry have left. And unless and until they see some level of stability, they're not going to come back. And frankly, I don't blame them. And so labor will be a challenge as we continue to maintain higher activity levels and increase. And so, you know, we're managing that carefully. Certainly with the combination of Savannah, we're going to have a new business line, service rigs, which my understanding is that's been a little more challenging on the labor side, and we'll just have to work through it.
Appreciate the color. Good quarter. I'll turn it back.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. The next question is from Jim Mahoney from Daily Oil Bolton. Please go ahead.
Morning, Dan. I'm just wondering, you mentioned the process of integrating Savannah with Total's operations, and I guess I'm wondering, can you maybe expand on that a bit in terms of a timeline, and also maybe just let us know you're planning to take on all of Savannah's employees, I take it?
So in terms of timeline, Jim, until our takeover bid offer expired, which was April 27th, there was virtually no integration efforts underway. We respect the fact that there were Total wasn't the only shareholder, and as well, we have a live takeover bid. Our focus was getting that bid complete. Now that we are no longer have an active takeover bid, and we know that the acquisition of 100% of the shares of Savannah is a given, we've commenced integration in certain areas, specifically in the rental side, where we're bringing Savannah's rental group into Total Oilfield Rentals. We've also begun the integration of drilling into Savannah Drilling. Going forward, we will be rolling Chinook Drilling into Savannah Drilling, continuing as Savannah. Savannah's currently in the process. They went live with the new ERP system effective April 1, and so we're not going to pile on another 18 rigs into that system until that implementation is complete and operating smoothly. And so that'll be a process that unfolds here, you know, primarily during the second quarter, and we will then look to operationally and financially integrate Chinook into Savannah Drilling. We intend to operate Savannah Well Servicing, the service rig division, as a separate fourth division for Total. And so that's a relatively easy integration in the sense that Total doesn't have service rigs right now, so there's not a whole bunch. Where we're seeing a lot of opportunity for synergies and cost savings is, first of all, economies of scale and obviously elimination of corporate overheads, and utilizing the combined infrastructure of Total and Savannah on a more efficient basis. In particular, we're going through real estate quite hard and looking to eliminate duplication and substitute own for leased. And we expect to see some pretty good operational benefits, efficiencies, and cost savings coming out of that. And so when we went into this process, we had estimated $10 million of annual cost savings. That did not include any employee reductions beyond the high corporate level and the board, obviously. So there's two senior officers that are no longer with Savannah. Obviously, going forward, we want to run an efficient business, and we have good people, and we want to go forward, you know, with a good team and run our business efficiently. And certainly, you know, Total has a culture of being lean and efficient, and We've come through a tough time, which has forced everyone, including Savannah, to become more efficient, and so we will continue to look to go forward as an efficient, non-bureaucratic company. And all in all, that will result in a better company, I believe, going forward for our shareholders.
Okay, and maybe my final question, just on the point of the break fee, I appreciate what you said about feeling that there's no merit to the claim that Western's claim for the break fee. Is that the sort of thing that would be settled? In other words, is there a sense that in terms of getting it over and done with and including it in your second quarter costs, is there a sense that maybe that may be settled to get it to resolve it?
You know, Jim, I would encourage anyone to go look, first of all, at the agreement between Savannah and Western, and it's extremely clear that this break fee was not payable just by the terms of the language. It's also, it's been conceded by Western when they were soliciting major shareholders of Savannah's for their support. Western representatives at the highest level conceded that break fee would not be payable unless we increased our offer, which we didn't. And so the chance of settling for anything above a dollar is zero because
okay.
of the frivolous claim.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. And there are no further questions registered. I'll turn the meeting back over to Mr. Halleck. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much for participating in our conference call, and I hope to see a few of you at our annual meeting in June. Thanks, and have a good day.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your line at this time. Thank you for your participation.